Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful we've got something that's very real to sing about this morning. You know, we've heard the expression many times, to do something in the name of Jesus. And I'm guessing you're like me, when you think about doing something in the name of Jesus, you're thinking about something special, something particular, like casting out a devil or healing somebody, or, you know, something that, you know, we have authority from heaven and we get to do this thing and be his representative in that sense. But the Lord brought an unusual scripture to my mind this week, and I thought about a passage in a way that I hadn't ever thought about it before. And it's in Colossians chapter 3. You know, typical of many of Paul's letters to the churches, he spends the early part talking, really establishing what God has done, what Christ has done, and its perfection and its completeness. But then, of course, that brings us to, okay, now what? And so that's what chapter 3 really gets into. But there, I'm going to jump down to verse 17, because it kind of, I thought about that and I said, what in the world? That's a new way of thinking. I hadn't really considered exactly in that way before. And sometimes we need to just see fresh truths, things that we know about, but to see them in a little bit of a different light, so that it helps to change our thinking a little bit. Because if you're like me, you need your thinking changed. That's part of the whole process, isn't it? Okay? So Paul writes in verse 3, 17, rather, chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do some of it. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Does that kind of throw a different light on the Christian life? Every part of it is something that we do in the name of Jesus. Now, you think of doing something in the name of somebody as an ambassadorship. You know, I've got heavenly authority to do something. And that's the truth of the matter. Now, it isn't just a matter of going out and performing a miracle. Just living for God is a miracle, given what we, you know, what the Lord's dealing with. Everything about the Christian life is meant to be miraculous. But I wonder how many of our lives are miraculous and how many of us just muddle through. And I'm saying us. And the Lord always, when he brings something to my mind, he's always focusing on me first, because I'm just like you. I've got plenty of needs. We're works in progress, as we've said many times. But I want to just focus on this a little bit this morning and just kind of look at some of the things he tells us that are the specifics of these all things, and see them in that light. Now, you know, we talk about in the name of Jesus, doing something in the name of Jesus as an ambassadorship, and I think the NLT, what is that translated as, a representative? We're his representatives in the earth. I wonder how many times we're not very good representatives. When people look at us, they're meant to be looking at the kingdom. Amen. This is what the kingdom is about. Yes. Now, you think about someone who is sent to a foreign country. This is at least illustrates a little bit of it. And they're sent as an ambassador. Now, they're not citizens of the country that they are sent to, but they're meant to represent the government that sent them. And many times, a younger ambassador, for example, will take his family. Well, now, you think about from the point of view of the people of that land. They're looking not just at the ambassador, But they're looking at his family and saying, you know, I saw what your young person did there. I saw, you know, and you've got this sense many times of, especially in today's world, where you got all of these sensational news outlets that just look for anything they can get. Think about a royal family, for example, and the focus that there is on them. And boy, every little thing, they just gets blown out of proportion, really. But I mean, you, if there's a least little hint of something that isn't right, you know, they're quick to point fingers. Well, the Lord is wanting us to be ambassadors. That's not a new thought, is it? But ambassadorship is not a part-time job. It's not a 9-to-5 job. It's not a Sunday morning job. It's meant to be a 24/7, 365, whatever it is, and 366, one of those years, every 4 years, where we are literally his representatives all day in everything in this world. And so the Lord, has the Lord done his part? Is there anything he's left out? You know, the translation we're so familiar with in chapter 2 is we're complete in him. In him we have everything that we need. So the Lord's done his part, but the nature of the kingdom of God is not that we just present ourselves and we become robots where he just kind of manufactures sons and daughters and we don't really have any much of a part to play. We've got a very big part to play. And that's what, see, Paul is summing up a whole lot of things that he is saying about the specifics of the things that we do and say. But then he characterizes every bit of it. You and I are representatives of the kingdom of heaven. All right? So let's kind of go back to the beginning of the chapter and just look at this and comment. You could go into depth in a lot of this, and that's not where I want to go. But see, you have this sense of when Paul says something, then he'll have a transition word that looks back to what he has already said. So the first word in this translation is since then. Now that connects it, doesn't it? In other words, because of what Jesus has did, all right, now what? Since then, you have been raised with Christ. So he's going right back to a fact of what God did. And notice the tense of the verb is past. This is something that God has done, and because of what he has done, now this is where we're at, and this is what's possible. All right, in light of what God has done, what are we to do? Set your hearts on things above. That becomes the focus of my heart. We know what Jesus said. You can't have a heart that's divided. You can't have a heart that is attached to the things of the world and the things of heaven too. You can't serve two masters. Where your treasure is, the thing that you value most, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so, is there any sense, when you stop and step back and think about it, is there any sense whatsoever in living for the values of this world? We know what God has revealed about its future. I don't care what it looks like, what human values there are that people seek, what they call treasure. This is all going to go up in smoke one day, and I'll tell you, God's going to straighten every little thing out. But the only thing that makes any sense for God's people in a practical, daily sense is to have our hearts, the things that we value most, are there. That doesn't mean we ignore earthly activities. But the heart and the spirit behind it is always connected to him and to his purpose. We're here to live out him as ambassadors, okay? But notice, I mean, he doesn't say, I'm going to fix it so your heart's attached. No, he says, you do it. I'm giving you the authority to do it. But you have the responsibility to use the authority that I have given you to do this. God wants sons and daughters who will make the choices in life to serve him. I'm not saying anything we haven't heard 1,000 times, more or less. But I'll tell you, God is focusing us in ways that are deeper, I think. Anybody agree with that? Yeah. We have responsibility and we have the power, because it's not just Him standing there giving us commands. He says, I've given you authority. And not only the authority, with the authority, there's power to do what I've told you to do. But it ain't going to happen unless you make the choice. That's the Christian life. And it's not a part-time job. This is every part of our lives are meant to be lived by the power that He gives us, and to live out the reality of the cross, okay? All right, so that's the first command. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Then you got another admonition. Set your minds on things above, because you can have your heart, but your mind can drift. Now, nobody here knows anything about that, right? Your minds, you have perfect control of everything that happens in your head. It's amazing how I'll think about something. I'm not even thinking about recent services, and it just comes right back to things that we've talked about, how the Lord has given us a power to rule. But the first thing we got to rule is this, okay? So here's the same thing. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And do you think God would tell us that and not give us the power to do it? Absolutely not. So if we're not focused, if our minds are just here, there, and everywhere, or we're believing the wrong stuff, whose fault is that? Yeah. We've got to take ownership of where we're at and our own responsibility. Now, again, none of this is talking to people who ought to be way up here. We're in the process. We're growing, but these are the ways that we need to exercise ourselves in order to grow. God wants us not just to say, do this, do that. He wants us to understand and cooperate and lay hold of what Christ has laid hold of us for. Isn't that what Paul said in Philippians? He's laid hold of us, but now the stuff that we got to lay hold of. So we got to make choices, all right? Now, then he says, after setting your hearts and setting your minds, for you died. He goes right back to the foundation of the reality that if you have really, truly come to Christ, if you really have come to Christ, not just embrace some religious something, you died. It means laying down your life just as certainly as Jesus laid His life down, so we lay ours down. It is giving up one life in order to possess another. There's no other shortcut, no other way to say it. But that means that something happened when Jesus died. We have so become so connected to that it's as though we were there. Because in God's heart, we were. Something happened there that absolutely seals our destiny. But if we don't understand that, we're going to keep living out this old life, aren't we?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.